Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
Sunday Cantata with Pastor Tapani Simayoki.
Welcome to Sunday Cantata, where the best of Lutheran church music meets the best of Lutheran spirituality as we study and enjoy the church cantatas of Johann Sebastian Bach. In the words of the Dutch recorder player Erik Bosgraaf, there are two kinds of composers. There's Bach, and then there are all the others. So I have no doubt that you will enjoy also today's musical offering. My name is Tapani Simayoki, and I thank you for joining me for this half hour. In today's program, we will be hearing another chorale cantata for the year 1524. I won't repeat the story of the chorale cantatas today, so if this is your first time listening, you may want to listen to one of the past episodes where I do tell that story. Go to the Lutheran Radio UK website and follow the links to the program page for Sunday Cantata, where you can listen to all the past episodes. Click on the episode for the fifth Sunday after Trinity, or Trinity Sunday, or Easter Sunday, to find out about the chorale cantatas. Before we look at today's cantata specifically, I thought I ought to say a few words about hymns in the Lutheran Church. It's hardly an exaggeration to say that singing in church, and hymn singing in particular, has been a subject of great deal of conflict and controversy in the church for some time now. On the one hand, there's a centuries-old tradition of hymns and the congregational singing of hymns, which to many now seems outdated and increasingly irrelevant. On the other hand, there's the multi-billion-dollar contemporary Christian music industry and a veritable explosion of so-called worship songs. Behind all the controversy is a simple but crucial question. What's the point of congregational singing in the church? The answer you give to that question will determine the kind of songs you will sing. The English-born scholar of Lutheran hymnody and of Bach's music, Robin Lever, writes perceptively in his detailed study entitled Luther's Liturgical Music, Principles and Implications, about the motivation of Luther and the early reformers in writing hymns. He writes, "For Luther and his colleagues, the singing of hymns was more profound than the way we tend to sing them today. We sing them for nostalgic reasons, to remind us of an earlier time in our lives. We sing them as shibboleths, identifiers, usually enshrined in a specific musical style, that marks out what kind of contemporary Christian we are. We sing them because we have always sung them, and we like the emotions they evoke, though we do not necessarily understand what it is we're singing. Or we sing them because they are new and up-to-date, and we would not want to be heard singing stuffy hymns, especially those old German ones. But such modern criteria for the singing of hymns appear very superficial when compared with how hymn singing as we know it began in the 16th century. Luther's hymns, as well as those written by his Wittenberg contemporaries, were grounded in scripture and functioned not only as worship songs, expressing the response of faith to be sung within a liturgical context, but also as theological songs, declaring the substance of the faith. Today the emphasis is on Christian experience, and very little is heard about the essential catechesis of hymnody. But the catechetical function of hymns has been fundamental in Lutheran theology and practice at least until the later 18th century." Thus far, Robin Lever. In the light of all this, it gives me great pleasure to introduce a Bach cantata today that is built around a hymn written by one of the reformers, Justus Jonas. Jonas was a colleague and friend of Luther's at Wittenberg University, and a gifted and prolific translator of Luther's and Philip Melanchthon's writings, both from Latin to German and from German to Latin. He wrote one of the eight hymns in the first Lutheran hymnal of 1524, Ein geistlich Gesangbuchlein. A second hymnal was published in the same year called the Erfurt Enchiridion, and it included another hymn by Jonas, his loose paraphrase of Psalm 124, Wo Gott der Herr nicht bei uns hält. It is this hymn that forms the basis of Bach's cantata number 178. Psalm 124 is one of the Psalms of David entitled The Psalms of Ascent, which focus on God's saving works and blessing for his people. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Gospel reading for today, the eighth Sunday after Trinity, is from the final part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, a warning against false prophets. Jonas paraphrases the psalm, but very much with the Reformation conflict over true and false doctrine in mind. You are listening to Sunday Cantata on Lutheran Radio UK. I'm Tapani Simoyoki. The opening movement is a chorale fantasia. The choir sings the opening stanza of the hymn with both the words and the melody intact, but richly and colourfully arranged. If the Lord God does not stay with us when our enemies rage, and if he does not support our cause in heaven high above, if he is not Israel's protection and does not himself break the enemy's cunning, then all is lost with us. There are no trumpets in the orchestra, yet the instrumental introduction is an unmistakable call to battle. Its sharp, dotted rhythms and vivid bassline exude solidly grounded confidence, even defiance. Together with the forceful lower choral parts, with their runs and almost percussive emphasis of key words and phrases, this opening rallies God's faithful and sends whatever is left of the enemy scurrying. The next movement, for alto solo, is a hybrid typical of the chorale cantatas. It mixes the chorale tune with recitative and Jonas' text with amplifications by Bach's anonymous librettist. The original words are sung by the soloist to the chorale melody, a line or two at a time to a moving accompaniment by the bassoon continuo. The music then stops as the singer breaks into recitative to supply the additional commentary. To keep the two texts clear, I will ask my wife Sarah to read the amplification, while I will read the translation of the chorale verse itself. What human power and intelligence contrive should not easily terrify us.
For God the highest stands by us and frees us from their traps.
He sits in the highest place. He will uncover their plan.
Those who embrace God firmly in faith, he will never abandon nor forsake. He overturns the plans of the perverted and hinders their wicked deeds.
When they attack with their greatest cunning,
plotting with a serpent's cunning and false intrigues to gain their evil goal, then God goes another way.
He leads those who are his own people with a mighty hand.
Through the sea of the cross into the promised land, where he will turn aside all misfortune.
It is in his hands. This alternating construction goes to show the power of music, to simplify complexity in a way that only music can, keeping together the two sources but without any confusion. The third movement is a poetic paraphrase of the next stanza of the chorale, set as an aria for a bass soloist. Just as the wild waves of the sea tempestuously dash a ship to pieces, so also the fury of enemies rages and steals the soul's best possession. They want to make Satan's kingdom greater, and the little ship of Christ would be wrecked. As always, the music perfectly sets the words, not only accompanying the singer, but creating the scenery of the tempest of the enemy's rage. The fourth stanza is sung straight by the tenor soloist. They persecute us as heretics and thirst after our blood. They boast that they also are Christians, who greatly esteem only God. Ah, God, your precious name has to be a cover for their wickedness. One day you will wake up to this. Always the incomparable master of creating harmonious whole out of seemingly unrelated musical ideas, Bach composes a trio sonata for two oboes and continuo, which doesn't appear to have anything to do with the chorale itself. Yet, when the sonata meets the chorale, the two dovetail perfectly. Now comes another hybrid. This time the choir sings the chorale, with the additional text sung as a recitative by the bass, tenor and alto soloists. Again I will read the chorale translation with Sarah reading the additional text. They open wide their jaws,
like a lion, with sounds of roaring, they bare their murderous teeth,
and would swallow us down.
And yet,
praise and thanks to God always.
The hero from Judah still protects us.
They will not succeed.
They will perish like chaff, while his faithful followers stand like green trees.
He will break asunder their traps and destroy their false doctrine.
God will kill the foolish prophets with the fire of his anger and completely destroy their heresies.
They will have no defense against God. The added heroic touch in the lines by Bach's librettist are given a suitably heroic musical treatment by the composer. The sixth verse is again paraphrased, this time as a tenor aria accompanied by the strings. Be silent, reeling reason. Do not say the devout are lost. The cross has given them a new birth. For those who hope in Jesus, the door of mercy stands always open, and when cross and affliction crush them, they will be refreshed with consolation. The main feature of the music is the insistent repetition of the word schweigt, be silent. The tone of authority reassures the hearer of the firmness of God's gift in Jesus, over against any doubts that come from judging the situation on the basis of our own perception. This is reminiscent of Jesus' words to Peter concerning the church. The gates of hell cannot prevail over it. Even though it often seems to human reason that evil is all around and all victorious, evil has in fact been defeated by Jesus on the cross. The cantata closes with a straightforward harmonization of the last two verses of the chorale, with the voices doubled by the full orchestra. Our enemies are all in your hand, along with all their thoughts. What they attempt is known to you, Lord. Help us only so that we do not waver. If reason fights against faith, in future we will not trust it, since you yourself will give us consolation. The heavens and also the earth have been founded, Lord God, by you. Make your light become bright for us, and let our hearts be kindled in true love of your faith, constant to the end. Let the world go on complaining forever. Again, Bach brings us to a peaceful, hopeful close at the end of the tumult of this psalm hymn with a Picardy cadence by finishing on a major chord. We will now hear Johann Sebastian Bach's cantata number 178, Wo Gott der Herr nicht bei uns hält, in a performance by the choir and orchestra of Bach Collegium Japan and soloists Matthew White, countertenor, Makuto Sakurada, tenor, and Peter Koi, bass. The conductor is the founder of Bach Collegium Japan, Masaki Suzuki. This recording is taken from volume 23 of BCJ's complete set of Bach sacred cantatas, released by the Swedish record label BIS and made available to Lutheran Radio UK by eClassical.com.
Thank you. alles töten und ihre Ketzerei verstören.
Thank you.
That was Cantata numbers 178 by Johann Sebastian Bach, performed by Bach Collegium Japan, with soloists Matthew White, Makoto Sakurada, and Peter Coy, and directed by Masaki Suzuki. Thanks for tuning into Lutheran Radio UK and joining me for this episode of Sunday Cantata. I do hope that you will continue to enjoy and be edified by what you hear in this program and across Lutheran Radio UK. For the next few weeks, we will be hearing a series of longer cantatas by Bach, whose music takes up most of the time allocated for the program. Therefore, these episodes will be of a slightly different format from what you are used to by now. The benefit is that you will get to enjoy even more wonderful music than usual. If you would like to get in touch about any aspect of the program, do send me an email. The address is info@lutheranradio.co.uk. And don't forget to introduce your family and friends to Lutheran Radio UK. Our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, has several easy ways to share your favorite radio station with others. Thanks again for listening to Sunday Cantata. I look forward to your company next week. I'm Tapani Simoyoki, and you are listening to Lutheran Radio UK.